The Holy Gospel for this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said this, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This is the Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. My dear siblings, in Christ, grace and peace are yours this day from our God who creates us, from Jesus who saves us, and from the Holy Spirit who dwells in and among us. Amen. Well, first a confession. I submitted my sermon title for the bulletin a whopping 3 weeks ago before I traveled, and I chose really what is by definition the most generic possible sermon title you see printed, Living in the Promise. I've since gotten maybe slightly more creative. So here it is, a sermon now titled Know As You Go. A guy named Peter Ramey previously served as a guide at Wilderness Canoe Base, which is a Lutheran camp based in the Boundary Waters canoe area of northern Minnesota. I have not personally met Peter, but my dear friend Anna has, and Anna recently relayed to me some words she learned from Peter during a staff training experience at Wilderness Canoe Base. And the words are these, "Know as you go." These four words were Peter's mantra when he would prepare his campers to meet the waters of northern Minnesota. He had guided enough canoe trips to recognize a pattern. Navigators who were not familiar with the Boundary Waters would not at first understand that on the map, what would appear to be distinct landscapes would appear indistinguishable in the flesh, if you've never seen a map of the Boundary Waters, something like that. So indeed, what should serve as landmarks in navigating could be impossible to recognize in person. Islands, bays, and peninsulas often run right together as you're paddling by, even though on the map they seem to be obviously separate entities. This disconnect often pits navigators against the rest of their group, Peter found, looking back and forth between their maps and the earth in front of them, insisting that something is there that shouldn't be, or is there that isn't there that should be. But inevitably, Peter claimed, the maps would always prove true. The bay would open up, or the portage would emerge just as the map said it would. And Peter writes this in a staff devotion he shared. Quote, "These lakes are like that. Islands, narrow channels, points, and peninsulas emerge out of thin air, disentangling themselves from the wooded mass as you approach. It fills one both with wonder and exasperation. It confounds while at the same time giving rise to a sense that the land is alive with you, a labyrinth." End quote. And it's to this wonder and exasperation that Peter relays his mantra, "Know as you go." And to that, he writes this. "Know as you go means understanding that what you know now is enough. It means living contentedly with the uncertainty of what lies ahead. It is the knowledge that all you must do is continue heading in the direction your compass tells you is right. It is knowing that the future will unfold into the present, allowing you to recognize your position then as you do now." End quote. The lesson here of faith, Peter adds, may now be emerging as well. In the face of great anxiety about the future, whatever that may be, whether islands or bays or grief or a move or a change in your family, whether welcomed or not, You and we can always trust that just like in the ambiguous landscape of the boundary waters, God, our great map maker, always knows the way. It is a promise we can know as we go. Well, this morning's texts from the Bible include rich promises, landmarks from our map maker, if you will. In our reading from Luke's gospel, the waters may be a little too murky to hear the promise. The island in the middle of what sound like some alarming commandments about being dressed for action and that inconvenient bit about selling our possessions and giving alms. But first and foremost, Jesus does indeed deliver us a promise in this passage. Do not be afraid, little flock, Jesus says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Our God delights in giving, Jesus says, and not only in giving, but in giving us all that is God's. God delights in giving grace and love, both eternal and in the here and now, to us, to you. A rich promise for guiding us through all the other elements the map may include. But this is not the only promise we've heard this morning. In our Genesis text Bob read for us, we meet a guy named Abram who lived long before Jesus, and we hear God deliver a promise to Abram. We encounter Abram, we did this morning in Genesis 15, which is not the first time Abram has emerged onto the scene. In fact, it is not the first time Abram has received a promise from God that begins a few chapters earlier. But by this point in the story, by Genesis 15, which we heard from, God has already called Abram and his wife Sarai from their home. God has promised to make Abram's name great. God has promised that of Abram, God will make great nations, that Abram's offspring will be blessed for the sake of blessing all nations. But, oh, by the way, at the time God delivers that first promise, Abram is 75 years old and childless, and Sarai, his wife, is close behind him in years. And I will add, I would have included a picture of Abram and Sarai for a visual during this point in the sermon, but Google Images rapidly fails to depict Abram and Sarai honestly in terms of race or age. Apparently, 75 is the new 25. So you'll just have to imagine them. They were not 25. God delivers this great promise to Abram, whose as yet non-existent descendants will inherit the land promised by God. And God delivers this promise for Sarai, whom the writer of Genesis has already told us is barren. At this point in the journey, at this moment when we encounter Abram in Genesis 15 again, the waters are already looking pretty murky for them. The map is not lining up with reality. And that is when God comes again, as we hear today, years and years later after that first promise, when Sarai and Abram are still childless and they're not getting any younger. God comes to Abram and says, just like Jesus says in Luke, do not be afraid. Abram's reward shall be great, God says. Indeed, God delights in giving great promises. This indeed seems to be a thing for God, delighting in giving promises. But Abram isn't having it just now. In Genesis 15, years have passed since the first iteration of God's impossible promise, and nothing has changed, it seems. The map is not lining up with reality. You delight in giving, God? Abram asks. And what exactly are you giving me? What about this so-called great nation you are building through me when I don't have anyone to carry my name? Not a single child? How about these hypothetical blessings you're bestowing upon me? Seems like you've given me the wrong map, God. I'm not seeing any big family reunions coming up on this route. No promises fulfilled. No great names. No blessings for me or for Sarai, let alone blessings for all the nations. And yet God says, look toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be. More numerous than the stars in the sky. But these numerous descendants, of course, are all predicated on the need to start somewhere with one descendant, just one, which Sarai and Abram don't yet have. And then perhaps in a move nearly as impossible as the promise itself, the text says Abram believes the Lord. He believes the Lord despite the years that have passed since God first made the promise. And he believes the Lord, despite the many years that will still come before the promise is fulfilled. Abram believes the Lord in the middle of the murky waters, in the in-between time between promise made and promise fulfilled, when the map does not seem to line up with reality. He may not entirely believe the map just yet, but it seems he believes the map maker, which I will add is more a reflection of the map maker than of Abram. It's a story about the faithfulness of God, not about the faithfulness of Abram. If we follow the story of Abram, we'll note he is not always a hero of the faith. He does not always trust in the promise of God. In fact, at times between promise given and promise fulfilled, Abram and Sarai both manipulate and trick and play ignorant for their own gain, which sounds sometimes like me and maybe sometimes like you. So it's good news that the story is about the faithfulness of God and not about the faithfulness of Abram or Sarai or you and me. It's a story about the map maker who is once again worthy of the trust of the navigator fledgling in the boat, even and especially in the middle of the murky waters. Even after this story in Genesis 15, even after God has reiterated God's promise of blessing and descendants, Abram and Sarai will face years and years more of childless life. In fact, according to the text, they will face something like 25 more years before their son Isaac will be born. Meanwhile, Sarai and Abram will have to know as they go. As our canoe guide Peter says, they will have to live contentedly with the uncertainty of what lies ahead. They will have to trust that the map maker crafted a trustworthy guide for them, which is not all the demand of faith so much as it is the promise of faith, that even in the ambiguous waters of life, the great map maker is guiding them toward life and blessing. And dear siblings in Christ, you and I now are inheritors of God's promise to Sarai and Abram, eventually then renamed Sarah and Abraham. And thanks be to our great map maker, through these fledgling navigators, we have received blessing for the sake of blessing all nations. Know today that God delights in giving this blessing to Abraham and Sarah and to you and to me. It is a gift and a promise for you to know as you go. Thanks be to God. Amen.